I can figure out who's here. And since I didn't ask anybody to say a prayer, I guess I'll have to ask it myself. So I'll say a little prayer on the proceedings here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this day for the beautiful sunshine, the sky that abounds around us, and the beauties that are here. Grateful for the opportunity we have to participate in this area, this Deer Springs Ranch area. We ask You to bless us with wisdom and good judgment in the discussion and decisions that we make here as a board, pertaining to the needs of the members and the land that we love. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so for our secretaries, we don't have our secretary here, do we? Hey, Candy, why don't we start over here and everybody identify who you are, and Candy, so Candy can hear, and we'll take a roll call here. Start with you, Lillian. Pray, if you can't hear, you got to talk louder. And even though you think we know you, and she might go ahead and say your name out loud, and we'll do it. Pick that guy.
Ryan Wheeler.
John Harris.
Joe Bose.
Jody Akers.
Bob Allen. Bill Hall.
Brad Hutt.
Got it all?
Yes, and we have two board members. And
Barry's coming, but we'll be late. And we don't know about Jeff. Do we? Anybody know anything about Jeff?
I'm on the phone.
Oh, great. Jeff's on the phone with us, everybody.
Yep, and Vance Green is on the squawk box, too.
Vance Green and Jeff, anybody else on the phone? All right, then the next thing on our agenda is to approve minutes. You might recall in June and July we read the minutes, and there were just some minor changes that we made. August as well. And so it's just a kind of a formality or final approval of those changes that were made. Does anybody have any comments, or can I look for a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Joe Bose makes a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, Jody seconds that. All board, all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous, Jeff? Jeff, do you approve the minutes?
Aye. Yes.
Okay.
He sent an email.
Okay.
Andy.
Thank you.
Robert Musco.
I think we'll wait on the ranch report and follow-up assignments right now until Barry gets here. Same with discussion of ranch manager replacement. Let's go right now to financial reports from Jody.
Can you skip me for a minute?
Okay, she's not quite ready, so cabin and ranch equipment, Joe.
Oh, wow. Let me see where are we here. Well, as far as the cabin goes, the ranch equipment, everything is running good. Cabins are in good shape. I do want to, I got some projects I want to get for next year for the cabins, for putting sheetrock around the bottom with the wallboard so we can keep the mice from going under them and protect the pipes better. But that'll be for next year. Other than that, everything is running good. Equipment's good. No problems that I'm aware of. Anybody got any questions on it?
What's the date that we are supposed to close all but the two cabins that we normally leave open?
The 15th.
Oh,
no. So we're going to close
all but 7 and 8?
All
All but 7 and 8
yes.
by the 15th of November. Or is that,
yeah,
yeah.
October.
15th of October.
But we'll probably, because of the work schedule, close the upper cabin the 15th, like that weekend.
Yes.
And he'll come home and on Friday. He'll play.
Okay, and then you'll close the, there's another weekend.
And then probably the next weekend we'll probably close.
All right. That seems logical. Very good. Okay, then we'll move down to, I think we'll just go through reports right now for a second. Rhodes, John?
Yeah. On the roads, we went from most of Crawford Canyon, much of Crawford Canyon, up to East Crawford Canyon. We graded approximately 3 miles altogether. And we went down Crawford East, but hadn't been graded in years. We ended up putting in a 30-inch culvert down at the bottom of it, which Dan Wirt said he wanted to pay for that culvert.
Dan Wirt's paying for that culvert?
Yes.
It's primarily
a little $800
circling his ground.
Culvert.
Yeah. Okay.
Steel one. And then Dan Wirt said, I want to pay for that. So we did that road up there, and then we did some clean out on some culverts on Meadow Canyon. There's a bunch of those, and a little bit of light grading there. Also, the pond, the Half Moon Pond down there, Paul diverted the water there because that's full to take it on down a little further, and the silt pond is cleaned out. And then he had to go up and clean out again the up at Bear Springs. That filled up again after we cleaned it. He must have pulled out another 20-25 yards of gravel out of that thing. And we bought also another culvert for Podunk, and the people in Podunk installed it. We went ahead and installed it on the dog leg up there. So that's done now. And I think that's basically
okay. It. So about as ready for winter as we can be at this time?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much ready. There might be a place or two that we'll look and see. But for the most part, yes.
Okay. Great, John. Any questions any of the rest of the board has for John? Let's go down to you, Brad. Oh, no, we can go ahead and do Jeff. Jeff, do you want to talk to us about communications? Anything you have you want to say?
I didn't have anything on the agenda, Phil.
Okay, great. Thank you. Brad, anything you wanted to bring up?
Yeah. I got a copy of some of our yearly budgets for agriculture and a printout and seeing where we're at on that. When do we have to submit a budget?
A little later on today, we'll go back to the budget and we'll take your input as Jody moves down the line by line on the budget. So we're gonna talk about it today, get as close as we can, and then we'll finalize the budget in November.
Okay. It looks like we bounced around quite a bit as far as what we spent and where we spent it at. On the contract with Doug Hunt for livestock grade, we're not completely in compliance with the contract. Fencing that needs to be done, and so that's one of my major goals is that we, as quickly as possible, move into compliance with that contract. It will potentially save us money by spending a little bit of money. I know that there's some money left in the budget for this year, and I hope to take that money to buy some fencing material. So we have some fencing material at hand to begin when we have labor, either volunteers or hired to be able to begin to do that and begin to start that process. In August, I talked to John about trying to maybe get some poultry cut, but it would save us some money as far as feeder posts, 10 feet to be able to put that fences in place. You can put our foot fences up to ride. And I don't know if we didn't get the cut right.
No, the not as that cut. Between the rain and a few other things, we just didn't have time.
I met with our county extension agent at the ranch, and we toured the ranch and tried to begin the development of some kind of a range management program. Probably with all the yellow flowered brush on the ranch that's coming up, grass brush is prominent. The brush hog has been down since the spring. And did we get that brush hog? You know?
The part has been, we have the part now. Paul had to take that piece into town and have the people in town.
So they have that on.
So let's hear. So as I understand those things, that pretty much just slips on two parts.
Yeah, it's just a U-joint that was down on
it. It just slips in. And slip on one, slip in the other end.
I read in the minutes that Paul was instructed by the board not to do any brush hogging, so we're way behind on clearing some of the brush hogging or some of the rabbit brush and stuff that we can get out. But there's other things that we need to do to eradicate the rabbit brush in order to keep it clear. Brush hogging is the long, hard row that you'll have to do continually year after year without some kind of herbicide.
I think, Brad, we slowed the fall down because we were having so much trouble with the roads and rain. But now...
Well, we had two problems. One, the road problems, plus we had a lot of cabins that were way behind on. But then the thing that actually killed it was the U-joint went bad, and he couldn't get the part. And I said, well, order the part for the meantime. Don't worry about the brush hogging. Let's get everything else done. And when the part comes in, we'll put it together.
I completely understand that. That was Paul's fault that we're where we're at. But just note that we are behind, that we need to move forward in some kind of range management program. I also talked with our natural resource conservation agent, Zach Wolverton, and there's possibilities of being able to get some funding and grants from the government to be able to do some of the work that we want to get done. So he wasn't able to meet me out here yet, but I think we have till the 1st of November before he puts in for any funding, grants, or anything that might be available to us. And so we're working on that. That anything that's private we can do, we have to be registered with the Farm Agriculture. I don't know if our ranch is registered or not. I'll have to check into that to see, but...
Let me ask you this, and the board, since we're now on a pretty limited schedule on this transition with Paul, he'll have limited, I mean, he's limited to Friday, Saturday kind of stuff. And so as we talk about the budget for this, we need to decide, we need to keep this going. If Brad thinks we need to do some this fall, we need to talk about what Paul may have time for, or we need to talk about hiring somebody to under Brad's direction proceed with some
of these
things.
With one fence building operation, some guys out of Colorado City, and they charge about $2 a foot for labor. So if we came up with material that would cost us about $2 a foot
on fencing
for them to put fence up, if it's new fence, I imagine old fence, fixing old fences is labor intensive, and I would imagine it would be at least the same as the brand new fence putting it up.
You might call the computer button. You can use your number here.
I got that bid from Taylor. I'll give it to him right now. I mean, Mariah might have a copy too, I don't know, but we... Okay, so...
I'd like to get with...
I probably have it in email.
You probably do too, huh?
Ben Clarkson. He was over agriculture when the contract was written, and I'd like to see exactly... I think he had an idea for new fence that would section off Deer Springs Point from Broad Hollow. because that's one place where the cows have, need to be stopped. The range, or our extension agent also, the fact that we need to come be in compliance with our cow contract also is beneficial to our range program, because those fences to stop the cow are able for us to allow the cows to stay in a certain area when we need them to, and move them out of a certain area when we need to do, so we can rotate back and forth. So we probably located the most cheat grass in Broad Hollow, right under Jody's cabin, and down below.
Throw that seat.
The rest of the areas are better than that. The cheat grass comes on, it comes on way early. It germinates way early before the natural or the native grasses, and so it's the first thing to come up in the springtime. So one thing we can do, if we can push the livestock into those, especially that area early, and graze that off, then it doesn't leave fuel for to burn up the hill, to burn up your house. So that you can attack it through grazing, but probably Broad Hollow needs to be maybe even disc and reseeded at some point, because there's hardly any native grasses left. It's all taken over by invasive grasses and noxious weeds. fire protection, I talked with, slipped my mind, was on our board.
Leland.
And asked him if he would continue with the program that he has worked out with the dedicated hunters to continue the. He already has the contacts and the ends, and he said that he would be willing to continue on and work with the dedicated hunter programs to put some kind of fire borders on properties that border BLM, for anybody who wants to have their property, if you happen to be bordered on BLM and you would like to have work done on cutting a fire line between you and them, that's another option for fire. I haven't visited with Brent yet. I guess he knows how to drive that fire truck. Brent.
You know how to drive the fire truck, right?
Are you the only one that knows how to operate it?
Can't hear her.
My idea is we probably ought to have the people who are around here the most at least know how to start that thing and operate it in case there was ever a need for us to.
Well, anybody's interested, I'll tell you what, I'll take you out and show you how to operate it.
Perfect.
And
wildlife, I talked with the fishing game. I'm trying to figure out, I'm kind of behind the curve a little bit and seeing exactly how. I know that we made pretty good sum of money from our wildlife.
Larry's been our contact on
it. And apparently there's an organization, a Pontagon, that we put our tag, or our, I haven't decided if it's tags or units, 3.2 units or something that we were allotted or whatever that goes into this. But I wonder if there's something we can do as we're trying to improve our range management, if we can do that, will increase any of our allotments to maybe get us more units to make.
There are things we can do, but it's a fairly considerable jump as far as planted area. Or yeah, but Larry's got the particulars on that. So
I thought that might be the case, but I thought it was worth a shot.
Yeah.
So. And that's all I have.
So a question for you, Brad. We're kind of at the end of our season here. And kind of at the end of our budget, too. I mean, we'll talk about more about the budget. But I guess we'll need to know from you if you feel strongly that there's any things that we have to accomplish now, or think, or can the majority of this wait till the spring, or what if you feel we'd all have to just go out there right now and do it right now. But we'll talk about the budget later, maybe see what money there is or isn't left there. But Jody, what's your impression on, we're about out of the budget money here?
Well, from my last calculations, I think we have about 12,000 left that hasn't been pegged, but
once we get things down to about 10, we try to keep a little on hand.
It gets really scary at that point for me. Like,
I know we have 6,000 coming in.
That's part of it.
From the cattle.
That's part of it. You're about the only thing left you have coming in except for...
So his 6 is part of the 10?
Yeah.
12?
Yeah. Except for maybe a few more assessments, maybe, but that, this time of year, probably not. So that's where it comes out to. We've got, well, to tie that in, do you want me to go into the financials while we're talking about that?
No.
No, okay.
I know
anyway,
Paul before the transition was going to spend some time over in Podunk and try to repair that fence, but I don't think hasn't gotten to it, and so now he probably won't, so...
The outside fence.
Yeah.
Which is important. You know, we've got to work on a lot of fences. And so I think prioritizing is fences that are going to cost us money. You need to work on them first.
But, so she said, Nancy said she has a copy of that bid from the Buttons. I've got it somewhere, but I just can't find it.
You want me to just email it to you, press?
Still
yes,
email.
Thank you. There's several large patches of rabbitbush that are taking over the well field. The well field probably is the best feed source that we have as far as that we've created. We spent the money to reseed that and to put that aggressive wheatgrass in the well field. But those areas that the rabbitbush is some places is 3.5 feet high.
So where we've already spent the money and got the parts... Probably we should spend some of the time Paul has in the brush hogging, huh?
This year, end of the fall, early spring, before the feed starts, you don't want to have the feed grow up and then you brush hog off the feed.
Yeah.
And so after the cows come out, about when Paul's gone, perfect time for him to do the work.
I'll come do it.
Okay.
But
all right, let's move on.
Other people who can operate a tractor. And we can do some brush hogging and some, we can do what we can do, but if we have any funds left over, if we can begin to stockpile some fencing material, we're going to have to be spending some money there, so.
Okay. Let's see what we can get done out of Paul or hiring somebody to run that brush hog. And then you're always welcome to go squeeze Jody's arm. That's so nice. You guys are probably here waiting for the information Barry has about the water stuff, right? So hang in there till he gets here, because he's the head of our water committee, and that's basically why it got put over in his territory. Okay, so. I think we'll still wait. Maybe Jody, we'll wait till Barry's here to discuss the financial report.
When you were talking about fences, does it include the fence over by the cabin? Is it the pond?
Where is that?
Right here in front
of
the cabin that
you
guys used to have.
Oh, huh?
Does that include that? Because the cows are always running around on his lot.
No.
No?
The fence in between. That's a pasture area. So if you want cows off of that lot, then you have to pretty much work on the fence yourself. So fence out of your own lot. But that's an area of... So the fence that needs work is the area that separates, that keeps the cows over there so they can get up on your lot.
Okay, I think.
But, you know, people can pitch in and help each other if they want to fence. I mean, we can work together to try to see what we can do.
Well, there is a fence, but it must fix the problem. Because it was taken down when Marcus put his trailer out there and it was set up with the cows. But that's what I believe.
And yours is the cabin lot right there.
Okay, we're going to go to number 7 then.
Battery
Union. And you have those handouts for number 7 on the legal documents?
You're right in the middle.
We're in the middle of a board meeting. What did you want?
Nancy, have you seen any domestic cattle?
Not today. Or yesterday?
Yesterday or today? Or
not since you came up the other day.
Well, I know we got a couple wild ones that ended up over the there's brown scouts here.
Yeah, we just
got
down.
Everything down.
Yeah.
We'll be here all week.
Right. Yeah, about replacement board.
Okay.
Hey, Brad.
Is that a good turn?
That black bull is. He's still, he's up there.
I think that's easy.
Okay, we're going to, H.E. will get on the board anyway. I think we'll get a copy of the bylaws. We'll go over number 7 here. And for those of you on the phone, if you want to turn to the bylaws, number, let's see, it's number 4, meetings of the association, and it's item H.
Thank you.
Okay, item H. We had, at every annual meeting, there's always some wrangling in politics and talk, and some of that talk made a few people could be construed to be even threats, and made people uncomfortable. And Brad happened to ask me to we talk about that. That number H, removal of directors, he felt like many of us that that's kind of an old, kind of an antiquated way that when members of the ranch lived close by or, you know, there weren't so many diversified members. In this day and age now, we have members in New York and Texas and Oregon. I mean, we have members in California all over the place. And so, we're going to read what it says about removing of directors, and I'll give you my 2 cents on it, and then I'll, I think it's something we should address and change and modernize. So, I'll read this H. At any duly constituted regular or special meeting of the association, anyone or more directors may be removed with or without cause by the affirmative vote by written ballot of a majority of all members present. So an affirmative vote and a written vote of all the majority of all members present. A successor may then be elected by a majority vote of the membership in a like manner as herein provided to fill a vacancy or vacancies thereby created. Any director whose removal has been proposed at any such meeting will be given an opportunity to be heard at the meeting. And then it goes on. Problem is, for most of our meetings, not very many members are here. And politics as they are, those members of a certain persuasion or feeling towards a board member might show up to a meeting, whereas the other board members of the association might not even be aware that that's going to take place. And so it's not very representative of the entire membership. So I'm going to read to you a proposal that that I would like us to consider. We would then, a bylaw change takes a two-thirds majority vote of our membership. So just like we finally passed the water document, we sent it out to the membership and received the vote, and we were able to pass it. So here's one idea, and then I'll open it up to your discussion. So I would substitute in there this kind of arrangement. In order to remove a director slash board member or members, one, a group of not less than 30 DSROA individual members shall submit to the secretary of the board their request in writing. Immediately thereafter, the board secretary shall prepare ballots, one per membership, which shall be mailed to the entire membership of DSROA. Three, 30 days from said mailing, ballots will be due. No proxy ballots will be accepted. Four, the board secretary will along with one member from each persuasion as to the proceedings, will then count the ballots and report the vote. A director or directors will not be subjected to the above action more than once during their tenure. HOAs require anywhere from 5 to 10% of their membership to have signed a petition. That's where I came up with 30, if you're wondering. I feel like this would be more representative of the general membership. It wouldn't subject the board to the politics of an ambush at the OK Corral. It would be an orderly thing, and it would hear all the members. And when the votes come in, members that own more than one lots can vote. They'll have all of their rights per membership. Other lots of states, proxy votes are not allowed. Utah hasn't at this point put its foot down, but that's why I put also that no proxy votes would be counted. The feeling is to have each member truly speak what they want to say, and not to have more politics going on, persuading people to give them proxy votes. So I'm open up to your discussion now and for your questions. You're looking real serious, Jody.
No, I think that sounds like a reasonable plan and probably something we should have done a long time ago.
Do you board members feel like this addresses the need in a fair and equitable way, Brad?
I need to read through your proposal exactly for a minute
go ahead.
Would want to vote on it or anything, but I understand what you're saying, and my feeling as a member is that if we have the membership together and we vote seven people onto the board, then
you would think that all that time and effort in the annual meeting and everything would be sufficient and should be kind of honored, right? And yet, this is a way out. If somebody's really out in left field and there are enough people that feel strongly about it, then there ought to be a mechanism. So I've allowed for this mechanism, and I think that's in keeping with most modern HOA laws. How about yours in Nevada?
Because it wasn't an annual meeting that you had membership here, and only those that were present had the ability to vote somebody off. This recall situation would actually allow all the members who voted you on to decide whether or not you should come off or not. 30 people would have to write or sign a petition. They'd have to be vetted to know that they're in good standing or their vote doesn't count. There are time frames in which they submit it, in which the board then acts upon it. A special meeting would be called to address this recall. If it doesn't pass, you stay on the board. But it gives the membership rights and it gives the board rights.
Can I say something? Maybe adding to that, to where, you know, if they're not on speakerphone, if they're not here in your meeting, like, we voted you in to be here and to be present and to be part of this. And so missing so many of them is a big point to me, because we elected you to make a decision for us.
I think there's wording that's in there that says that you can be dismissed if you've had so many meetings.
Yeah.
So
this is an extreme case where politics and people feel strongly they just really don't like what a board member's doing, and they show up and one night they're voted off and the rest of the branch never even heard about it.
So may I say something in regards of getting that 10% of 30 votes? I think that's in the democracy very important that you have a broader range of people saying something other than just a few. That's
right.
A good thing.
Right.
With the proxies, I disagree because for me, I have to say, even that I'm not here, I still can send my vote in. Because
well, you can mail in your vote, see?
Yeah, but I tell you something. The last time I got my mail, and it was like 2 days before it was due. Don't know how that happened, but I got them 2 days before it was due. How I'm managing that, driving it up in person, then I don't need to mail it in, you know? So,
email it. You can email your
votes
in also
to
the secretary.
Yeah, okay.
Can we?
I don't know that.
I don't think you can.
There's no documentation to prove.
There are a lot of people that don't know exactly what's going on, and they're not here. They live in Texas. They live whatever. So, you know,
we might
them as a personal friend, as a lot owner, they would trust you.
Maybe the 30 days needs to be 40 days or something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe longer. What? Anybody else in another HOA? How long do they have?
30 days.
We're unique in that we're spread across the United States.
Yeah, we're in Vegas. We're 30 days, but there's 128 homes. They all live in the home in Vegas.
Plenty of people.
There's four or five of them that are renters. It does take 2 weeks to communicate.
It can be.
But not like here, where it's all over the country.
I travel all over the world, and it's very hard to keep up with mail. I try my best, and the U.S. mail office does their best too, but it just doesn't work always that proper, you know, and I got mail sometimes in 5 weeks after.
Well, we should make it 45 days.
I'm just saying, I don't want to make it just because I have that issue, but I'm saying 30 days and taking out.
Well, we appreciate your input. Yes, Brad and then Candy.
My point here is, is the concept something that the board and the members present could work with? That's the key we're looking at here. The specifics as to how many days or this or that could be negotiable in terms of how we look ahead to present it. But it's definitely something that we need to respond to the time frame. But right now, it's I think more the idea of is this something a workable kind of change to the bylaws, letter H, to accommodate a modernization of the whole process.
It makes things more complicated, but on the same time, nobody said that democracy is easy.
That's right. And see, this kind of an issue is a time-sensitive issue. I mean, if people are wanting to move, this person stays on the board or he's off the board, doesn't drag on for months and months and months. That's why...
Yeah. I agree, but at the same time, the more people you bring into the mix, the more issues you're going to have, and then it's just the time factor that comes into it.
Well, it's not like a thing that you open up for a big discussion. They get the notice that, hey, these 30 people want Joe Hall off the board.
Yep.
Yes or no? It doesn't, and in our old bylaws, it doesn't say you don't have to give for any reason. It talks about giving the person a chance to talk in that meeting, but certainly a person that could send out his own mailer to say, defend himself if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But because of the diversity and where so many people live so far away and life is complicated, very few hardly ever even tune in. We only have Vance Green and one other board member here on the phone, and yet it's been publicized. Anybody could. We have 296 members, we don't have that many members, but that shows you that the fact is they're not participating as much. And that many people, you wouldn't be able to find them all being able to tune in anyway. Life's too complicated. Okay, so, Brad, yeah.
My point was, is if we have as a general membership elect a board member, and there's enough disturbance about that board member, and people want him off, I'm fine with that. But what I'm not fine is
eight people out here and you eight people decide who's going to be the next board member. I'm not fine with that. I feel like I have a responsibility to sit this seat and speak for the voice of all of you guys in and the majority of the feedback that I get, I'm going to go with that. If it gets to the point where I don't feel comfortable with the way the direction or the majority of the people the ranch want to go, I'll resign my seat. But I think it's important that the ranch members elect their board and that we're responsible to the ranch members. So they can kick us off the board and make a way for that to happen, but the ranch members should be the one to elect the board and not a group of individuals at any individual meeting. And as far as the proxy goes, as I read through here, I can't necessarily see that a proxy makes any difference. If I want to mail in my vote or give you my page to mail in my vote, I can mail in my vote or give you my proxy. So I'm okay with
the
proxy
ballot. The proxy tries to take the persuasion and politics out of it. It's asking for members to be responsible. We want your opinion. And if they don't have it, if they don't understand, they can call up such and such a person and get the information they need, you know?
And I understand. And I did that for a lot of time voting for you guys.
Yes.
That's when you ran. If I didn't know you, then I would call somebody who I trusted and I'd ask them who they think and what do they think and why they think and more than not, I just take their advice and vote the work to somebody I trust.
Let me propose this. I know we want to send out a mailer. We normally send out a mailer kind of right before the holidays, or the end of the year. Hi, Barry. And, we can entrust our legal committee to finalize the form of this. I think I would like to look for a vote of, confirmation that we want to move ahead on this, come up with the final form, and send it out to be voted upon.
So can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Perhaps in the writing of this, can we make some specific guidelines, such as the case of receiving the ballot just before it needs to be turned in, to really specify how we can receive those?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Should we briefly go over that?
If you had your choice, did you feel like you want to send your own ballot in or you would like to have a proxy?
I would like to have the option of a proxy, first of all, because I'm new. I've left this land a little bit over a year. I still have a hard time with remembering the name. And I learned very fast that there's a lot of politics going on. So I would love to have that opportunity as for the proxy. I don't see a reason why we should take that away. I do see the difference very well. Yeah, and I think it's the need, and I think it's a good step to go to a 30 vote. You know, I think that makes sense, absolutely. You know. But if we do changes, we might not have to do it all in the present. You know.
Any other members that are here have a feeling on proxies?
I don't believe we should take it away at all.
I got a comment on that. I think it's already in the that we accept proxies for voting, so I think we kind of have to keep the same.
Okay, then I would make a motion, not that we do it just as this is worded, but that we instruct our legal committee to review the general feeling of this. Perhaps it seems like take out the proxy thing and come up with an acceptable format that we can mail to the membership for a vote. Do I have a second on my motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, Jody seconds that motion. All in favor? Joe, are you in favor?
I am.
In favor? Jeff?
Aye.
Okay. I'm not going to vote because I don't know enough about what we talked about.
Okay. There's a majority, and I'll give you a copy of this.
Okay.
I'll help fill Barry in, and so before our next mailing to conserve costs, we want to mail this out. And, again, it was a bylaw change. It would take 2/3 majority. All right. Good.
we've kind of gone hitting all around you, Barry, to wait until you get here. Part of Mrs. Harden's can you let her know or let the board know where we're at on the request for the water transfer?
Yeah, I got their response to your email. I think you got my what we need to do, and I talked to a few people about this. Right now, with the new partly with the new bylaw, which really doesn't apply to you because yours is a private deal. We really need to, or it would be better if we came up with kind of a checklist that said these are the steps, which we've never done to my knowledge in the past. And I'm looking at putting that together. Right now, what I've done is requested that Tamara put together a form that when you go through a city council or something else, I say, you know, go ahead and put together your form so we can review them, specifically request, you know, we know how much water, but we need in a document form what the lot is, what the use is, and some details about the size and depth of the well and that kind of stuff so that we can track for informational purposes and which water right you feel like you want that your water right segregated off of. That's for two reasons. One, it allows you to request what you want, then we can evaluate it. And number two, it doesn't put us in a position of telling you, hey, no, this is what you're going to get. Now, I can't tell you that what you apply for and what you, you know, if you say, I want a water right divided off of something that's 10 miles away, I'm not saying that's necessarily going to be approved. I think the members need to make a formal request and identify, like we did with the Meadow Canyon, just this is the water right that I think it should come off of. This is why, and this is where I'm going to use it, and just so that we can track those things. And establish a step-by-step procedure so that those that come later don't have to reinvent the wheel and do it all over again. So I kind of outlined initially the steps in my email to you or at least the things that I'd like to see, but I see that from that we really ought to have an established checklist or step-by-step process that each member, when they request, we can just send it to them and say, here's the steps. You check off the list and identify these for us. Send it back, and then we can make an informed decision based on what information we have in front of us rather than guessing and not necessarily being on the same page. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So I'm happy to put together and work with the legal committee on putting together a checklist, but for your request, I don't know that that's going to happen soon enough. So if you can respond to the information I requested in the email, if you've got it, then we can – what I would like to see happen – and I don't know how the rest of the board feels, is if you'd submit that to me, then I can review it with the water committee, then we can make a recommendation to the board at the time saying, we've looked this stuff over, and we feel that this should move forward, and then the board can vote on it rather than having a discussion in a board meeting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
acceptable? That's exactly the way we like the committees to work.
Tamara, if you can get me that stuff, then I'd be happy to share it with the rest of the water committee, and then we can go from there.
I have a stupid question. What second balance is I'm playing that I know that I can treat the same way when I apply for water rights? Maybe I don't like you, and I don't like the beer you drink, and maybe I find myself in a situation that the crowd is not going to get any water, you know? So... I'm just informational. What checks and balances do you have, or on what basis are your decisions founded that you make this decision?
Well, I think the checklist will help us be consistent with everybody that makes a request. Unfortunately, we don't have that right now, and that's why I think it would be helpful.
Okay.
In my opinion, and looking through the documents and going through the last year and working on water, not as a board member, but on the water committee, the board has certain decisions to make. They need to protect the water rights that belong to the ranch, but it's clearly identified in the documents as we have them now. You're entitled to that water right as long as you go through the steps in identifying where you want it from. And we would like to make sure, along with that checklist, that we educate members, because I don't think a lot of members realize that once you request water, you have to use it within a certain period of time or you lose it. You know, not only lose it for yourself, but for everyone else.
And if you're aggregating, like Tamara's doing, she has a private water right and she wants to aggregate to that an additional water right from the ranch. She needs to understand that you have to prove the complete use of that entire water right, including the private and the ranch right together. And if you have a, for example, the reason why I asked about pump details, if you have a well that will produce, you know, a half acre foot of water, then there's no way and no reason to turn over more water because it's just, you can't pump enough to even prove up. And in that case, then it would be lost and the state would take it, that water right would be canceled. So that's why we want to.
It's wishy-washy right now and we don't have a guideline that is that's in between.
We haven't had any written step-by-step procedure that we can hand out and say, here's the steps.
It does say that each member can have up to the point.
Yes,
4.5.
Each lot is entitled to 0.45.
That can't be denied, but this is going about it in a way to protect both the member and the association in case you can't prove up. We want to help you know that. So
that
the ranch doesn't lose it too.
The bylaws, as they've stated, basically say you can request the water when you're ready to drill a well because there's no reason to grant the water until you're ready to use it. And then along with those, with that same criteria, we want to verify that the entire water right can be used and will be used just because we don't want it to go away because we're unfortunately in an area where the government may change its mind at any point. They've already taken the subsurface rights away. Can't apply mm-hmm. for any more of those, and so we want to make sure that we're being proactive and making sure that we preserve those water rights to the extent we can.
All right.
But one other thing, I don't want to make it difficult. I want to make it as simple and straightforward as possible. But there has to be certain information provided so that we can help the members.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But when you live in a society with people, you have to have rules.
Absolutely.
That's what it is, you know?
Yep. I know his brother, Larry, says he loved coming up here as a young boy, and now with all these other people, he's just saying, wish they'd all just go away. But that's we just have to try and become a big family together. Okay, thanks, Barry. We've talked about every other agenda item on here except for the financial that I was going to turn time over to Jody now. Unless you had something additional that you wanted to say about either safety or legal item.
No, I've kind of gotten information from Jody on, she was the past chairman of the water committee and the legal committee, and I've gotten some information from her both on budget items and what's going on. There's no real action items at this point or nothing to report. I'm still getting into a position where I know where things are at.
Very good. All right, Jody, then, as our concluding item on the agenda, we're going to have a ranch report, I guess, now that you're here, that we were waiting for that, too. And where did Nancy go? Okay, so we'll go with Jody first, and then the last thing we'll talk about we'll have the ranch manager's report, and then in our closed meeting, we'll be talking about the actual transition of manager and that kind of stuff.
You're on the right line. What came down in that meeting on the board?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I didn't get one.
Greg, you get one?
So we should have this.
I don't think I have one today. Is this it?
Everybody else got one? Okay. Okay. Bear with me today. I have propane on my brain. Have a little propane.
Strike a match over there, will you, Joe?
Propane. Cocaine would probably be better. I don't know, but I'm a little bit dizzy this morning because of propane last night. All right, so, and we had to make do with printing here for the budget worksheet. So you're going to see some regular line paper with it, board members. We'll just let's get through it. This is only going to be the rough draft. We'll go through the budget items today, and then we have a month to go through it, and, you know, you can email me or call me for questions.
So we've got to finalize some of the budget call.
Yeah, I have one more.
Here, I can share with Brad.
No, I've got plenty. Did I miss somebody?
No, you got
one,
us.
Two, mm-hmm.
We're good.
Okay. Make sure that's a four. It should be pages 1 through 5. Make sure you have all the 5. Anybody else right here like that? Something, man? Okay, so basically how this works is we'll go through this line item by line item. And in the first column, which is the estimated or actual 2016 line column, is where either we are at and that's done for the year, or where we're thinking we're going to end up for the year. And then what we'll do as we go line item by line item, we'll fill in the 2017 budget estimate to the next of it, to the right of it in that column, and then I will calculate that as we go. So when we're done putting in what we think we need for the budget, it'll give me a grand total at the end when we're done with that discussion, and then we can start adjusting. So let's throw out there what you think you need, and then we'll adjust once we see the bottom line. Okay? All right. So let me get my papers in order so I can... All right. So for the, let's say, line number one is your assessment, the incoming assessment. I never predict 100% will come in because we never get 100%, but that would be a good average. The 133,000 should be a good estimate. And also, while we're going through this, on some of these categories, you know, it's kind of hard to tell from year to year what it's going to do. But I do have the three-year analysis with me, so when there's questions about that, we can refer back to that to see, okay, that's a reasonable number, or no, that's not reasonable. Our assessments for the last three-year average is 137,000, so we can estimate anywhere 132 to 137 and be somewhat on point.
Last 3 years, it was 137. But for longer,
that's the average.
So why did you estimate 133, basically?
Well, because the year end for this year is 133. That's our estimate for this year. The year before that, we received 140. The year before that, 136.
So you're projecting...
I think, okay, and on this year, we budgeted for 137.5, but we didn't hit that. So that's why I brought it down a little bit.
So in the next blank over, 2017, what we're wanting to do is try to fill in. So are you going to suggest...
I'm suggesting 135 now.
Okay. So we're going to write that in, right?
And I'll tell you what. I always estimate low because I don't like surprises at the end. So that's kind of how I roll. I don't like the having hard with the wiggle room.
Everybody
at the very end of the year.
Feel comfortable with that, estimating conservatively?
Okay. Moving on to cabin rentals. Basically, the average is $1,500, $1,700 a year. So we can go with that average. And 2015, it was $1,200. And 2016, right now, it's $1,400. And this is outside rentals. This is not member rentals.
How much do you guys rent the cabin for?
It varies from cabin to cabin.
Yeah, there's different prices per cabin.
Yeah,
how big it is.
$95 for all the smaller cabins, $145 a night for cabins 1, 3, and garden cabins.
There you go.
So all the other 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10. Made me think of that. So it varies between $95 to $145.
And these are people that just happen to be driving down the road and need a place to stay. Or there are a few people that know about us and year after year come up, but we are not in the business. We don't advertise to rent our cabins. They're for our members. So.
So if nobody else has any suggestions on that,
is there a reason why you would increase it then from 1,200, 400, 1,400 to 1,700?
No, it's really a crapshoot. We would have no idea each year who's coming in.
If you estimate on the low side,
I think I'm comfortable with 1,500.
1,500.
I'm comfortable with 15. 1,700 would be nice, but I'm comfortable with 15.
Okay.
Is that good?
Everybody good with that? This is kind of a laborious process, but we found no other better way to do it than just to go down line by line and stamp it out.
Well, it's better than throwing numbers on the chalkboard and hoping it comes out in the wash. Mm-hmm. All right, cleaning fees, they typically run about $100 a year, so I'm thinking that we stick with that. That's just one of those extra things. Donations, that varies wildly. Some years we have none. Some years we have 900. I kind of like to leave that open and not have anything in there because it could be a zero. I don't want to count on it if it's not something for sure.
I would leave it at zero. If there are some, great. If there's not, then
yeah,
we haven't
exactly
counted on it.
Just helps us add to the cushion. Friday night cookouts, that's going to be very, very, very depending on our new people, if they're going to do that or not. And maybe that's going to be something that Hunt's going to do more. So for us, I'm thinking put a zero in there because we haven't done, 2015, we had $100 income. This year we have $41. So I want to do zero.
I would leave it at zero because again, we don't know what we're
going
to do.
Okay. Livestock grazing, that's kind of fixed for now, 12,000.
On that, do we have a contract with Hunt's?
We do.
And how long is that for?
2021?
Correct.
Okay.
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 So it's a 10-year lease and we're in the sixth year?
Finishing the fifth year.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, reservation fees. You sign that here.
Jody?
Yes, ma'am.
On the interest income, what is that?
Interesting. When we get the assessments in, we divide them up between two different categories in the bank account. One draws interest, one doesn't, I guess. So the one, that's our interest coming in from where we, is that correct, Mariah?
I have to say, I have not been.
Okay. That's more or less how it works. So one of the funds categories does collect interest. And that's where that comes from. Yeah, and if I skip over something, some of these things are not, well, they're not in order on the sheet, so bear with. All right, reservation fees, we're at $10,000 for this year. $4,700 of that is our pay-per-play pulling in, so that's really nice. Last year, we only had a partial year last year of pay-per-play from May 23rd to December 31st. It pulled in $1,800 last year. So this year, getting the whole season in there was quite instrumental in boosting that number up. $4,725.
Could we separate those two items, one for rental fees and one for pay-for-play?
Reservation fees and one pay-for-play? Yeah.
Isn't that the same?
Well, to figure that out, it's a separate line in the QuickBooks. I just had to go through and add up that line individually.
We've got pay-for-play here.
Where?
On number nine.
Reservation.
Oh, on my sheet. Yeah, but that's my sheet has nothing. This 2017 budget worksheet is not QuickBooks. It's just an Excel spreadsheet, okay?
So for those two lines, 8 and 9, this year it would come to $10,000.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're putting down $10,000?
I'm not sure yet. What do you guys think? In the past...
Well, the past we didn't have full years of the pay-for-play.
Right.
This certainly... Are we on average? Are we high? Are we low for cabin utilization by members?
Let me look here. See if I can figure that number.
Do you have that?
So we're about $6,000 in reservation fees alone, which would be we were at $7,800 for 2015. So we're a little below that, not counting the pay-per-play. Where when you rent the cabins, you pay $2 per person per day to stay to help cover some of the consumables like your toilet paper, paper towels.
Propane. Try to account for a group of two versus a group of ten.
heating hot water, all of those things. It's a long, that's a pretty long story.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I suggest maybe we go for $9,000 on that.
On reservation and pay for
it? Yeah, both together.
I don't see any reason why not to.
Okay, $9,000 is good. Okay. Sale of gasoline, that's another one. I don't like to put anything in there because it's, sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's $10. So
we only sell gas on an emergency basis.
Right.
Yeah, just enough to get them to town. Or...
tractor work income, we had $200 already this year. Let's see what we usually end up with. Again, that's something we never know. So I would like to leave that empty, and it's just extra if we get any.
Maybe probably.
You've got a backup.
That's true. We do have a couple things to rent out now.
So we probably, most likely, will have some income.
See, like, 2014, we had $100. 2015, we had $100. And then this year, we've got the $200. So, you know.
I think you ought to put $500 in there anyway.
At least.
Okay.
It probably will be more with the backhoe now,
I think.
Because I just rented it for a
day.
Get
out what the pricing is.
Oh, backhoe is the most important.
Yes, we have that. It's on, we can get it to you, but it's on the website. And
okay, water user fees and connections, we're going to skip that one. That one's basically, we'll have to discuss that one later, but it's too little to worry about. The wildlife income, we got $8,993 this year. I don't know enough about how that works. That has gone up from like $7,400 last year. So do we assume that it's going to be the same or more, or is that iffy?
It's iffy.
That's iffy.
Depends on how many hunts and how, and what areas and what the prices go for, and it's an auction. So what do you get? What do you have this year?
Most of them have been in the range of
this year,
yeah. But most of them are in this range of $7,200.
I would put something like $8,000 on there.
I concur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Store sales, done really well with the T-shirts and the hats and the store sales. We sold $2,200 this year. Yeah, it's like, that's...
I only four of them.
Good, good. So I'm thinking around $2,000 on that one. That means...
That makes sense.
We'll probably have to come up with new T-shirts every year so you guys keep buying more. More T-shirt designs. Interest income, you know, last year in 2015 was $4,000. This year, to date, it's $1,100. We're not going to make $4,000. So I'd say let's go maybe $1,500.
Interest is going down.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how much money we have in there, too. Yeah. We could go for $1,000 and be safe.
You get screwed on this one now.
Does the grand work for everybody?
Works for me.
Yeah.
I think that's conservative, so.
Okay. Reimbursed expenses, we don't ever know what that's going to be. Collections, we don't know what that's going to be, so we leave those blank. Miscellaneous income, I always just put $100 because we always get something coming in that's from somewhere that we just, you know, unclassified. All right. That takes care of the
so
income.
Can you quickly add that up?
Yes, I can. Give me a minute to talk about something else for a second.
Let's a minute while we talk about something else. Let's see.
Well, can we go through and...
Let's talk about... Let's compare haircuts. No, I'm sorry.
I was saying we can go ahead and start talking about some of the expenses. And
no, you can't.
No?
Okay. No, because it'll just get me all rattled and I won't know where I'm at.
I got a calculator on my phone.
I just plug it right in here.
Okay.
And I'm writing it down instead of punching it in the computer. Well, if you guys will promise to write them down, I'll just keep plugging them in.
When assessments are paid by March 1st, the 18% is applied to the amount that you still owe. Has our amount that we have claimed from individuals who have not paid, has that increased or decreased over the last couple of years? The 18% interest that's paid in, because that is money that's coming in, has that decreased amount? Or kind of it's the same all the time?
It's like more like the same.
I think it's the same or less. It seems like When we were doing collections, there were a lot more delinquencies than there have been in the last couple of years. I haven't been handling it, but I haven't heard of a ton of. So I think people are staying more on top of their assessments than they have in the past. About the same.
About the same.
Okay.
Well, I was just interested, does that fit in someplace here on the top part?
No, well, that would be under collections, but until we know a number and...
Okay.
Yeah, if everybody pays on time, that'll be zero.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. People live in a perfect world.
So right now, our total income is $169,200, based on those numbers. All right, now I'll just punch them in as we go.
So therefore, we're looking at an increase of about 9,000.
Yep. Scary. Okay. Okay. Moving on. Bank fees. Sorry. These end up being about 500 a year. It's always hidden one, too. It's always somewhere way... I'll put that in for 500 right now, and I'll look for it as we go.
So bank fees, is that...
The bank card merchant fees.
500.
Mariah, if you can find that quicker for me.
Bank card merchant fees for 2000, January 1st to the 6th of October are $143. I'm reading the wrong line. $563.
Yeah,
so I think $500 would be a...
Okay. The bank service charges we have zero this year, so I'm leaving that zero. Okay, so here we go into the cabin maintenance, furnishings, and supplies. And basically what we do on that, we split that. $4,800 goes to maintenance, $4,000 to furnishings, and $3,200 for supplies. That works out pretty well, and I suggest we keep it the same. We're at $11,700 now. But we're at $12,000 now, so my report's a couple weeks younger than her report that we just got now. So
we're at $12,000, so we're going to probably hit $12,500.
I expect another $1,000 to come in on that, don't you, for the supplies, or $500 for supplies to refurnish, refurbish everything? Now, what are you thinking?
Less than $500.
Oh, good. So we got that much.
And all I have to do is get poison and the Rid-X and stuff.
An antifreeze.
Huh?
Got an antifreeze.
Oh, the antifreeze.
For winterizing.
Antifreeze, and we have to get, I'm thinking about my...
Oh.
I'm thinking about all the bug balm. I'll get, like, one more thing of toilet paper and paper towels. Wintertime, and then...
Okay, well, newsflash here. Looking at the new papers, the new P&L, the cabin maintenance, which is the furnishing and the maintenance alone, is $12,000 for the year. Cabin supplies are $3,200 for the year. So we're over by, like, $3,000.
So your real budget number should be $15,000 instead of $12,000.
If we want to...
Does that include the rock and everything? Is that part of it?
Was the rock broken out of that, Mariah? Do you remember?
I do not know that. I can look
like the rock and then all the...
I think we broke... I think we broke that out, but I'm not sure, Nancy.
Because I haven't really done much.
If you pull up...
We also did the deck and the stairs. On
yeah,
the
but, oh, that's true. The deck and the stairs were also done. So those were... Are those on the QuickBooks?
Sorry, I'm still looking. I thought...
All right. Let me see if I can find it.
And we did.
Yeah, we had a long conversation about that too. We worked
on
that for a week.
More painting on decks this year too.
They could either be in special projects, or they'll be in cabin maintenance.
I think for this early of a draft budget, we ought to just put it at 15 and work from there.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to continue to do projects from time to time, and that's, you know, we can't do it if we don't apportion some money there.
And we can.
What I'm saying is I don't think this is a special year that we just fix something and we don't need to worry about it again for the next few. I think
something
we,
always needs
to. I agree. I think we put it at 15 and make that work. Does that make sense?
We can try it. And then I can look on that next time. So 15,000 for there. Headquarters area, typically we do a 2,000. Okay, so last year we ended up 2,600, the year before that 2,300. This year we're at 2,000, 2,100. So 2,000, somewhere around that's good.
With a new family, we're going to probably be doing a little more.
We're going to do some more stuff. And I don't know if you include in there the discussion of the replacement of the laundry facility.
No, that's, those things we usually do under special projects at the end.
Okay.
Because usually what we, this will eat up, just our basic budget will eat up everything that we have. And then we add on special projects and then we start like, okay, what can we do and what can't we do?
Okay.
So, go for it.
I think that increased a little bit then.
So you got
25.
What did you have it last year?
Two.
Yeah, 25.
Okay, laundry.
Okay, hold just a second.
Okay.
You guys come on in. We're right in the middle of our board meeting, but we won't turn you away because you got stuff in your hands.
So I did. We're just going to bring this and express our gratitude for letting us use your mask.
Okay, great. They're bringing
pretty
some honey here.
Awesome.
So the last honey.
The ranch.
Huh?
Yeah.
This is the stuff off your hives?
We did not build it here on the ranch. We brought it in too late, but this is off of our other hive. This is mountain honey, like what this ranch should be able to produce. But it's like the Cedar City Mountain is where we got this stuff.
Okay.
Nice.
When are you taking the bees home?
I was thinking of, I was going to come check on them right now, and then I'll probably be Monday night.
And then you thinking about bringing them sooner this year. I should say in 2017.
Next spring, it'll be sooner, earlier?
Right, if we get a approval and everybody's okay with that.
At this point in time, we're in the groove for you to continue, so you can plan on it.
Okay.
Well, after the roads have been not muddy, you have an estimate as to when the best time would be to bring them up in order to produce the honey?
Yeah, we'd like you just to check with us so we can tell you that, hey, if there's something unusual about our road, that's the only thing.
Right.
If you come in on the freeze, though, you can come in just about any time early, as long as you come in on the freeze early. And then get out, please don't tear the roads up.
You do that at night, don't you?
Right, we never freeze at night. Yeah.
It would be freeze. So is
you
think March?
You had wanted in after the freeze because the flowers aren't going to be producing nectar during a freeze. So you had wanted in after the freeze, but just as soon as the roads were dry after the freeze.
Now,
I would think it'd probably be more like the end of March, first of April sometime.
So in other words, we can put you on the agenda for a discussion at that particular time, and if there's any input that you have, we could be looking at it at that time.
Right.
I think tentatively we're committed to a kind of an ongoing thing here, but if there's any change like, oh, now we want to bring double the amount of hives or I don't know what.
Right.
Then we'll want you to talk to us, but do we need to, I don't know, we don't have anything written at this point, we just have approval, and we approved for this year.
What I would suggest is we put together a contract just like we have with cattle, not necessarily as long a term, but that way we have something in writing where we all know what's going on and there's not miscommunication and it protects both parties. And I'd be more than happy to put something together that we can discuss in our board meeting, next board meeting or whatever, and then go from there. Then everybody knows rather than guessing at the last minute is it going to happen or not.
Okay, so we'll decide probably by our February meeting, you can, or maybe we'll have it sooner. So if you have any input, email it to us of any changes.
How do we
contact
you, Ryan?
Phone number is 435-272-7239.
Yeah.
Email is dan@honeycreek.biz.
Brad Hunt is our agricultural board man, so...
I don't even know where the other bees are. I've only seen one of them.
So, anyway, he will bring to us, with the help of the contract, coordinate things. He's our coordinator.
I wouldn't necessarily ever want to bring more bees in one spot than I have, but I would might want to see if you're interested in letting us look at more spots.
We'll entertain you looking, and you talk to Brad, and we'll all talk. We'll entertain anything, but we got a few people.
Just so I know, up to date here, today we don't have any problems with the bees this year, right?
None
whatsoever.
No,
we've had none this year with the kind of bees that we have here, and we're sitting good right now. So we would entertain another proposal.
You can make that at any time.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll look at it and I'll have that in place before we discuss it next time.
Okay. We appreciate the gesture, even though you didn't. Thank you.
That's all part of the game.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The other, Rob had the same problem. He,
Rinkerhoff, he didn't get any honey because he got them in too late.
Yes, too late also.
But
we didn't have any problems.
But
he brought in honey as well.
So thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Thank
you. We need to keep moving on our meeting, but glad you came.
Andy can come in, Mr. Hall.
How long is last name?
Phil. Yeah, what?
The only thing that we had asked to have the areas where the bees were was a simple sign indicating that there were bees in the area.
So we'll put that in the contract.
The benefit of having a contract allows us to say you indemnify us from any problems that happen and some of those things that if we don't, then we don't. And we're not that I think there's any significant liability, but we really ought to have a relationship spelled out and in there say you need to put up signs, you need to notify us if you're going to move them, that kind of stuff. It just makes everything more smooth, and then later nobody can come and say, well, you weren't paying attention, or you didn't protect us or whatever. So, and it's good for them because then they know what the deal is and that they're going to have a spot, so they're not waiting until the last minute. I don't know if we're going there or not. Anyway, just nail things down.
The only thing is the ranch had taken on that responsibility for fine, but it didn't get done. So whether they do it, which I think they should, it should be part of the contract that they're speaking.
I have never done a beehive contract, but I will muddle through one way or the other.
Hey, Barry, there's only a lot of things here. You never done before.
Is this a similar size to the other guy's thing?
They've smaller. Some before.
Like
pie
jars?
Yeah, the mason
and,
jars.
And so this one packing, what would we sell this in our store for?
Because it's a nice jar, we sold the other ones for 12 because Rob sells them for
14
in his house. And he said up here, he said in your store, I would just put 12 on them, and they were gone.
I think that's too little because they're organic as well. We're not charging enough for that.
But since these, because they're nice jars, they sell that in town. For like $25.
Yeah.
$20.
So I'm thinking like $24 for that.
After I get mine, right?
After we all get ours.
What a sweet deal. Okay.
Yeah. But,
I mean, was that going to be our price then?
I think that's great. I can go to Peralta and get organic honey. I can get a quart for $20. And it's organic.
But that's Peralta.
They're in decorator jars. And so that's why they sell that.
Pretty simple decorator jar.
All right, 16?
Not out here.
You don't want
15.
15? Yeah, I would 15. Go 15. I think that's...
Okay.
What kind of verbiage would you like on a sign that says, beware of bees?
The sign girl.
Cover your butt.
I heard that as I was going out, and I talked to him about it. He said he'd be willing to put up signs.
Bees
but
But Africanized on them. That'll keep
people away.
Bijan.
Bijan.
Besides verbiage to protect their butt.
Okay.
Bijan, Brett.
You know what? I might have those yellow caution signs that already are B zones that are color. I'll look at that in my catalog.
Yeah. Okay, where'd we end up?
Okay, we are on the laundry. Okay, laundry runs about $2,000 a year, and that's been pretty consistent.
What did we put down in headquarters area?
$2,500. Yeah, we're good on the $2,000 for laundry. Anybody else have anything about the laundry that they need to add? Yeah, special project.
$2,000.
Yeah. All right, porta potty. We have one down at the pond that's like $300. We need that one category gone too sometime, Mariah.
Yeah, can I wait till after the first?
Yes, just go. Yeah, whatever. It ain't gonna kill anybody.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead for $300 on the porta potty. Unless anybody ever has any other ideas on that.
That's all it costs for the whole year.
Yeah, they only do it for the summer. Well,
summer time.
They're supposed to come pick it up. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Okay, propane. All right, this year, because we had the t-shirts, the hats, and we had, well, we only had one radio or two radios, we're at 22.
We still have the radios.
We have no more radios.
I think they're all sold.
They're all gone. Just throw you in the back of that.
Bob Becker can buy some if you want to talk to him.
No, if you want to.
He'll buy them and charge you for them and reprogram them too. So, FYI.
So, we usually run about...
Sure they're all gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The meeting, the annual meeting, Paul told us they're all gone.
Yeah, Paul.
Well... Paul ordered more, and he told me mine came in, but it wasn't programmed. And he said he couldn't get it programmed till later, so there are obviously some left. They haven't been programmed.
I don't know if he ordered them for...
That's true. I remember a bill coming through and them mentioning that.
Well, I think we do have some, but they aren't programmed, so you can't use them until Bob Becker comes back, I guess.
Don't mention that when we sell it.
Hello? Hello, anybody here? I think 2,400 is fine for that. That's been consistent for like
store supplies.
Yeah. Anybody else on that one? That's okay.
Okay.
All right. Tools.
We're gonna have a little bit fewer tools because some of the tools are Paul's. So I think what have we spent? We probably have to spend a little more.
Okay. 2013, we spent about 6,000. 2014, we spent about 3,300. 2015, we spent about 3,600. This year, we're at 2,248. So knowing that Paul's going to be taking his 3,000.
This is just, and I don't want to spend a ton of time, obviously, sidetracking, but what it seems like, you know more about this than I do, Joe, but don't you eventually get the tools you need and don't have to continue to buy tools?
That's what we were talking about. I was talking to John the other day when I was helping him do the sheetrock. We need to get the tools, plus we need to mark them with a stamp that says they are ours so that they don't get mixed up with personals. Whether, like I said, I worked professionally for quite a few years for Chrysler back in the 60s, and all mechanics that were with me, we used to swap back and forth. So I bought a J and a B, and every one of my tools was stamped with a J and a B. We need to stamp something up here so they don't disappear.
And we need to either that or let me ask you this. What if, as part of the hiring process, I know we're going to discuss later, part of what we're looking for is somebody that comes with the tools that they need. I mean, when I was working construction, nobody gave me any tools. I had to show up with what I needed to do the job. Is that reasonable or is that feasible rather than us continuing to buy tools over and over again and having them broken, disappear, or whatever? I don't know. I'm just looking for...
I think we should have a tool list. Like when I went to work at the Luxor as an engineer, we had to supply our own tools. We had to have our own Wiggy for electrical. We had to have our own from 7/16 to 3/4. So we had to have just what you can carry on your belt. So
we should have
at least that much, yes.
And John, you had something?
Yeah. Well, the person that will be taking this job
it's going to be kind of a
jack of all trades, doing a lot of different things. So I don't know how many tools we can ask him to buy. Firstly, my guys, I had certain personal tools that we said that you must supply. They're just incidental little tools like trowels and what have you, but the company bought the bigger, more expensive stuff. But if we're asked, a guy out here is going to be operating a tractor, and he's going to be working on cabins, doing plumbing, and you can see where I'm going there. It would take a tremendous amount of tools, and to find a guy that had that many, and it would probably cost a ton of money.
Well, and I don't
want I can agree.
And I don't know what I honestly I have no idea what we have.
Yeah,
I would think that we'd have a tool list of here's what we regularly use. I hate to spend money unnecessarily, and but at the same time, I don't want to hinder whoever takes the job from being able to do the job because they have they don't have a hammer or something.
Well, if they don't have a hammer, they won't get the job done. You know.
Yeah.
If we could create some kind of an inventory, then we could know that answer.
That's why they want to stamp the tool.
Well, John had what's available. Then if you needed something, then you could look and see on the list. And then when it was not there, you'd know, hey, the tool's not there.
Well, and I think this particular go-around, Brent has volunteered to...
He's volunteered to check.
To meet with Paul and
Go
through the tools. And because Brent pretty well knows a lot about what we've had or have here, and he and Paul will agree upon.
Well, I think for the purposes of budgeting today, this is an early draft of the budget. We can put in a number that we think, but ultimately, I'd like to hear from Brent back a list of here's what we have and here's what we need, because that would allow us to get a more realistic number.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
You willing to do that, Brent?
I don't think he heard you.
Are you going to talk to Paul and work on a tool list?
Yes.
So you can let us know what we have and what we're missing?
What he and I are going to do is we're going to sit down and make a complete inventory of all the tools that we have.
Perfect.
And then I'll write up a list, and if possible, I'll get serial numbers off of everything to correspond with the tool. And then we'll have that. I suggested several years ago, and I don't know if it's worth it because it's not cheap, but I suggested several years ago we buy us a inexpensive barcode reader and barcode printer and put barcodes on everything so we could go through and rapidly get not on every single hand tool, but on our drills, our impact drivers, our other stuff that have value to us.
Well, like I said, I didn't want to sidetrack the conversation. Jody, what did you have in your proposed budget?
$2,300, which is a little under where we're at right now.
Let's put over
what we're at right now.
I would suggest we put it at $2,500 with the idea that when we meet, after we have an inventory list, we nail that down to reality a little bit more tightly.
Okay.
Does that work?
That works.
Yeah. I like Barry's idea about if he has his own tools. So when I went to Luxor, we had to have our own pouch. And what the deal was is you had an inventory and everybody knew what it was. If you broke one of your own tools, then the hotel would resupply that for you. So if the guy came in with a saw and a screwdriver and he broke it, we would supply him back with that new at no charge to him. So if he does leave here, he leaves with the same complement of tools.
Well, I think we need to look at that when we discuss hiring a little bit, but also identify what we already have. Just it may be that we're spending extra money, and maybe that we're not spending enough money on some of this stuff. So I think we need to get a list before we can make even an educated guess.
It's easy to waste money on tools because they're expensive.
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking. When you go through that with him, it may sound silly, but have a can of red paint and just touch it with red paint. That's ours.
We can do that.
Wow.
That way it won't be confused. You won't have to do it twice. everything that's painted red with a dot, that's ours. Whatever's painted
blue is Joe's
and greens is Paul's.
Yeah.
We are also going to take pictures of everything.
Good.
So we have a, not a video, but at least have some kind of visual inventory of what we got.
Of the tools that have been purchased, then we can see how many tools we've lost.
I don't know that we can go back to be honest.
It's all grouped under tools. It doesn't say what.
69 doesn't break it out.
No.
So we can't see that we've bought 17 shovels.
No.
And then we can go on each lot owner and see one's got red on every one.
We need an inventory database to do that.
All right, let's move on. I like I said, I didn't want to sidetrack the conversation, but I think we have a direction to move forward.
One more point. If when you get that inventory, we can, in our individual areas, look at the inventory and tell you if we need more tools. I can tell you if we're going to need any more tools for the agriculture end of it, and you can tell if they need more tools for roads, or you can tell if they need more tools that you see for cabins, and we can get an idea to project the budget.
For legal, I've been told several times I'm a tool, so.
Do we have to pay for you?
We probably won't need that.
It can't be replaced.
Get the red
paint out.
If you break, we can't replace you.
Okay, for the telephone, I think I have in a sidebar there, 144 a month. It really is 120 a month, so we're going to go with that and keep it consistent, and that's going to run us $1,440 a year. Kind of like, all right, anybody have any issues with that one?
No.
Okay.
It is what it is.
The trash, we're at almost 500. We budgeted for probably 500. Oh, we budgeted for 600. So that's about where we're going to end up. So I say do that again.
600 is good. Okay.
Okay. Activities, we leave blank. Education expense, we leave blank. Annual meetings, we've made, what, $700 from that option? So we can spend $700 on the annual meeting next year. So I guess we'll put that in the budget.
We have to get through that.
$700?
Okay.
We'll have Longhorn next time.
Meals we don't put in. Friday night cookouts we're not putting in. All right, internet connection. Sorry, I broke this down. This looks complicated for that. We have...
Wait a minute. So all these other lines, education expense...
those are all blank.
Annual meeting expense?
$700.
$700.
I got one thought quickly on the annual meeting as far as that auction. If we donated items to that to the thing and the bids that we make go towards our annual dues, we could get a lot more people bidding. Serious cash coming rolling in. Just saying. Okay, move on.
All right. We're on internet connection. We budgeted for 800. We're at 1,200 now. We have a lot of things that come up that are due every 3 years or due every 4 years. So I went through the numbers and figured out what this year should be, and I came up with for internet. Where did I find it again?
Number 40. Number 40.
Yeah, I'm on different pages. I'm on a different sheet for you guys. $101.41 a month, so $1,216.92, so $1,250 for the budget on that. Good?
$1,250,
yeah. $1,250. Okay, legal. We're going to end up about $7. I suggest we do the same. And Barry, there's...
Wait. What do you have in there?
$7.
$7,000?
Yeah. The one you got was for 2016, the breakdown.
Uh-huh.
So we have 2015, or did we do 2016?
You did, the averages I got were 2014 and on, and
okay.
They ended up, the average about $4, and I think we can live on $3,500, unless there's some.
Yeah, I think, let's see, we got 25 on this
page.
Of course,
I don't know what you've got, if there's anything outstanding yet this year, but.
Yeah, I don't know that yet either. I mean, I don't know if we've gotten the final.
I don't have the final. I haven't received anything this month yet so far.
So we had one paid in September. That was the $400 one.
Yes.
And that's the last one that's come
that's
in.
The last
one
I've received.
Yeah, so.
The problem is going to vary depending on whether there's a need for collections on
and we do have
and
that
some
coming
of that
up.
Kind of stuff.
We do.
But I can, a lot of, well, to the extent you guys will allow me, there's a lot of that stuff that I can help out with that really doesn't cost much.
Oh, wait, I think we said
we'd love it.
Oh, let's talk about that executive.
If you wanted to, if you've got it at 7 and you want to put it at 5, then that would, I think, leave some surplus.
We'll put 5.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, printing and postage, yeah. Every year it seems this one goes up. We're going to end up about 2,000. We've got all these mailers that we have to do. Then we end up having to do extra mailers. So I'm thinking that we need to stay within the 2,000 because something's going to hit us again that we always need to send out extra mailers for. It'd be nice if everybody had email so we could just get on that, but we have a lot of members that don't do it. So I'm going to suggest 2,000 again for printing.
That works.
Security, sometimes we do 300 for more cameras. How are we set on, or you wouldn't know that yet, would you? On cameras, do we need any more this year? Are we good on that? Nancy, Jenny, and Paul, or John, and...
We bought 3 cameras this year, so we should, last year, so we should be good.
So we shouldn't need anything?
Maybe we can get a few more specifics in the next meeting for bringing Gary up to the
Nancy's back. Do we have any radios to sell?
I have your radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have to sell, but I think there might be a couple.
There are a couple?
I think so.
You can sell mine, too. I'm going to get one from Becker because it'll be programmed. Otherwise, I can't use it.
I have one that I can't use.
Yours isn't programmed either?
It doesn't get anywhere.
If you take it to Bob.
We just had Paul do it.
Right, but if you give it, because of the new radio, they've changed something in them, and now Bob has the program that does it.
And Bob said he would be here in the first week in November, if you're here. I think.
You don't want to just give him your radio that you already paid for and have him program it?
Nope.
Okay, moving on. Website maintenance, I'm going to say we budgeted for 300. We spent 9. I don't know all what entails on that. So I'm thinking 300 again. Vance can do that. And Mariah's good at that now, I understand. And we also have Jeff now. So I'm thinking between all of us, it shouldn't be more than 300.
Okay.
It might be 0, but let's put something in there. Office supplies. About 17. Oh, we bought the laptop this year. That's why that's so high. Let me look on our 3-year average. Yeah, usually around 300 or 400 a year. So if we do 400, we'll be good. That's with the paper and stuff like that. Is that good with everybody?
Yep.
Was the new laser printer part of that office supply?
I saw the receipt for it. Do you know that, Mariah? I don't remember.
So that could be another reason why it's up.
Probably. That, and the laptop was, what, 1200 or? Okay.
Camera.
No, GoDaddy.
Oh, that's your hosting.
Domain hosting. Where did you see that? You jumped ahead. Okay. The radio license, we're not due. We're due in 2017. So it's $420. We got to pay that. And then other, we leave that empty.
Hold on. We don't need the stupid radio license. I'll clear this up with you guys via email, but that license is for the old VHF radio system we used to have at the ranch. For some reason, some people want to keep it, and it's been kept now for almost 15 years doing nothing. Time to go.
Okay, I think the issue was before, once we lose it, we don't get it back. But if we haven't used it
so
in 15
what?
Years, we don't need it back, right?
So what?
Let's put 0 on it.
We're zeroing that one.
How do you really feel, Vance?
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
Hey, it's $400,
okay,
$400, man.
That doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah.
All right, going down to employee expense. This year we were budgeted for 33. I doubt we'll start someone new at 33.
I think let's just budget in there what we have for this year and just as a placeholder.
Or maybe 30.
30's fine. I just, right now it's too early to really put a whole lot of them.
I just put in what we had there.
Well, what we had there was with their raise, so we wouldn't start the new people out with that. So.
Do you want 50 or 51 30. On your line?
Okay, 30 then.
Over here, 50 or 51 you're talking about.
Oh, that one's 50.
That was 50?
Yeah.
Imagine 33.
And then the next line, 11,000 is what we've. Oh, I don't have that number. What is it?
Oh,
I don't have that number. Oh, we'll talk about that one later.
51.
I don't remember that number.
On 51, you're wanting the current
P&L
number.
No, what was our arrangement with you?
Oh. Currently until January, Linda and I will be splitting up the current pay that she's receiving. Beginning in January for my 90-day probation period, I would receive $700 a month. And then following that time, I could be a proposal for upping the income to what Linda's currently being paid now would be affordable.
After how many days? 90 days?
I was thinking it was 90 days.
I think you're right.
So we should just go by 11,000.
Currently being treated, yeah.
Okay.
11.
And I have to say, she's doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
33 was on which item? Right. 50 or 51?
51 is 11,000.
Oh, that's your hosting for the website.
50 was 30,000. 50 was 30,000.
50 was 30,000 or 33?
Right, 30. Okay, payroll services, they end up being about $250 a year. Let's see if that's what it came in.
This one here is 11.
I'm sorry, Zoe,
managed
to see, what did you say?
11. Where's the payroll services? Oh, there it is. Yeah, I think 220 is good for payroll service. That's what we pay Niall to do our payroll for us.
How much?
220.
A year, a month?
A year. Ranch summer help. Okay, well, that's always a fun one to talk about, but
what have we spent in the past? And we'll just put that down for now. That'll all.
$1,200. We put in the past, and we've done that.
I just put that because it's going to depend a great deal on again who we hire as managers and what we do there. So let's just put that again, and we'll.
And if we're lucky, we get camp post help. Maybe that would help not have to see that at all. $1,200. Okay, going into fuel. All right. Okay. Fuel unleaded. Let's see what we budgeted for here. Crap, I didn't find this page too. All right, hold on, I'm gonna page look for. I tell you, I have propane brain today. I can't focus. You guys see the fuel on there? Oh, here, page one. Okay, never mind. Back to page one. All right. Fuel. We budgeted for $7,100 on unleaded. We are currently at around $7,600, so we're running a little short on that. But we're under in the red fuel, red diesel.
I have a question on that. How are we? I think we only got $6,000 worth of.
What about when you go to the store and get gas in town?
I think that's happened once this year that I know of. Did Paul go anywhere?
You want to check the unleaded gasoline?
I have two purchases at Blazer's Market. I'm assuming.
Oh, or gas.
On gas. Otherwise, I have two accounting coupons for this year.
Right, but one of them is
not
unleaded, one of them is
red diesel.
I don't have the memo,
so probably, yes.
The $1,700,
I
guess,
is red diesel and the
CPA.
Okay, so we need, well, you won't be here, but.
You don't need it, because
because of this price that we got on it.
On the red diesel?
No.
The regular fuel, unleaded?
Unleaded, we ordered enough to go the whole year instead of having to do two orders.
Okay.
That was 6,000.
We're at 7,100 now, but no. How much of that was red diesel? We're thinking 1,400.
1,700.
I don't. We need to see how much is in the tank to make sure that there's enough to run the, you know, the
all right. Well,
we won't need to run the generator because there won't be anybody in here to have to charge batteries on a cloudy day. That's not going to happen. And we don't have, the only thing you need it for is equipment for wintertime usage. So we can either order some this year and have it sit through the winter and just have it full come spring, or we can order it in the spring and have it.
To order it now.
You don't need to pump any water?
We'll pump the water this before we leave, and you won't have to pump it all. I mean, we won't even, we don't use 40,000 gallons. We don't use half that in the winter, during the winter. We usually fill it. It's November, and we don't fill it again until March. Is that about when we pump again? Brent? Or Brent? Yeah? What's your name? Yeah. It's a PR. It's a PR Brent.
Is he asleep and the wind's blowing his head?
Yeah.
Well, to simplify for this.
And we won't be here watering anything. We won't be taking showers. It'll just be whoever has to stay in the cabin.
Or if we have somebody else here.
How much fuel is there now?
In the wintertime?
In the house, yeah.
Oh, it's through the winter?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how full the tank is now?
I haven't looked at it.
What are we
putting? So, I think we stick with our numbers of 7,000 unleaded gas and...
Well, didn't you
what
just
line's
say?
That?
Jody, I think she said on unleaded, not enough for the last of the year.
This is for next year.
I know, but
for
it's full
year.
Right now.
It's not full right now.
Oh.
It was full in February.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Well, not full, but we...
Yeah, Dance is there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
So we consistently... what you need to do is have an average of how much we've underestimated fuel for the last 5 years, which is a lot. And we really don't want to adjust numbers based on... this particular winter, which is an anomaly, it's not hopefully going to happen again, because what will happen if you do that is when things go back to normal and you budget for next year, you're going to have a total freak out about the numbers, because they're going to go, what happened? Oh, yeah, we took them down. Duh. We don't want to do that.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
we want to assume we're always going to have normal operations for the entire year for fuel.
You're 7,600 right now.
So yeah.
If we put in 7,500 next year, I think that gets us.
That'll keep us safe.
Yeah.
Did you guys see what I'm saying? This is not something that fluctuates. It just keeps going up.
Yeah. So put in 7,500.
Okay. And then for the diesel, we budgeted for 62. I can't tell you we're probably at 34 now after the 1700s added back on. I'd say we do the same thing. 6,000 or 6,500.
We have another tractor now. That's
yeah.
That's so true. Okay.
6,500.
Okay. 6,500 it is.
Probably should do more if we have two machines.
Yeah, what do you think
probably
about that?
8,000.
8,000? Yeah. We got a backhoe now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it gets a lot of use. It got a lot of use this year.
We usually budget $700 for fuel travel. This year we use $200, and that's just for when they're on the road traveling, like when we have to take the water up or to get tested.
Just
or
put $500 in there. You budgeted $700 before, and we're under this year, but $500 is a good number. Mm-hmm.
And for one day, yeah.
And our average is 5.86.
I don't look at the gas tank before we leave, and I have to fill up because I'm like, oh my gosh, we're on E at Pipe Springs.
Your propane should be pretty consistent here.
So what's propane?
Propane, we're at 51.6 now, 51.56. We usually budget 8,000.
Winter now.
Our 4 year average. Well, we don't want to average that. It's.
Sorry to interrupt you. We do have another bill.
How much is that for?
There's an issue with that bill.
Yes. ballpark with the, how much?
Somebody walked into, we don't know who it was, went into AmeriGas, and filled up some small tanks, which Paul did do around the time frame. But all the guys there know him. Like, know my name. Hey, Paul, how's it going? We were told that a guy came in, filled three tanks, and told them to come up here and top everything off. We never, ever, ever, ever top everything off in the fall. We fill 7, 8, I think, maybe the garden cabin.
So did they do that?
They did it without us knowing. They didn't schedule it with me.
So they got another
We got the fuel, whether we asked for it or not. We're going to have to pay for it. So and we'd have to have it anyway. So
we'll use it,
so what the heck?
We told them that it was an expensive mistake for them to make, to go against everything that we've ever done. And I think that they're putting you on a, like, some kind of payment plan, so it doesn't all have to, it shouldn't come out of this budget.
How much is it?
I didn't bring it with me. I do apologize for that. I want to recall that it's somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000.
That just puts us back on where our budget was.
Right.
We budget $8,000, and we've got $6,000 so far. We're still in the ballpark of what we've normally done. So
let's put down $8,000.
I'd put $8,000, and then we'll evaluate it.
Anybody here know anything about that propane stuff?
Did whoever went in there pay for the small tanks that they filled up, or did that end up on our bill?
You know, I don't know.
I haven't received anything specific to that yet. I'm still waiting.
When you get it, if they didn't pay for the small tank, let me know, and we'll. We don't have to pay for that.
And they don't recognize or know who this guy was.
Yeah, he said a guy came in.
A guy.
Yeah, and they would never. We've been here for 8 years. Nothing has ever been different. This is the way that we do it. And all of a sudden, a guy came in and said this, and they did whatever a guy said.
Pretty dangerous for them.
They should get a description of that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. They have cameras in there.
Okay.
All right, on to liability, property, and director's insurance. We did implement that director's insurance. They're still working on the paperwork with it. He wanted me to have it signed back and checked to him by Wednesday. I'm like, hello, I'm not home till Wednesday. So I asked him what we could wait, delay another month or another week. So anyway, that's going to be another $1,300 on top of what we've already paid. But then next year when it comes up, the other part of the policy he told me would drop off, which would be around between $300 and $600. So I'm thinking if we go with $7,500, we're covered.
Okay.
Workman's comp. I have no idea how this state works. So, and apparently Linda doesn't either because we,
I have a note for you on that.
Okay.
So what I found out is, workman's comp is billed yearly.
Okay.
We received that bill. It's a projected amount. So, for instance, this year we paid that bill, and then they sent us an additional amount because we had overused what they had projected. So, from time to time, we'll have about a $20 to $30 bill, depending on how flexible it is.
You may get a bill, you may get a credit back, depending on what the actual is at the end of the year.
Okay. So, we do ours monthly, so I don't get this work. Okay, so anyway, the workman's comp runs about $21.38, so I'm going to leave it in there, and if we have $20 more, minus or less, we're okay. Auto insurance, $14.95. Same thing that it was before. Okay. All right, here we get into your part there, Brad. All right, so livestock department. Let me get caught up here with that category.
The other thing I didn't mention was, so we also have some erosion control problems that are happening right over here in the field behind here. We're losing ground every rainstorm.
that rains that comes off of that hill and back out over on the other side. Yeah, the flat just drops and goes out through there. So we're going to have to spend some money for erosion control.
Hey,
what did we spend in the past?
And just to bring this up, there's a big chugger hole up here coming down. Well, right before you get to the ranch, and like you don't know it till you're up on it. I've seen it, but at nighttime they're not going to see that.
Yeah,
and that's
that
a damage. That could flip an ATV for sure. So right up here around the corner, you come out to the gate, turn right, and just go up. Is it like by the airstrip area?
Right next to the airstrip.
Okay, there's a big, big cut in the road that it could flip an ATV.
And it's getting deeper.
Yeah, it's like where'd that come from? That's new. All right, so crop management, sometimes we do something with it, sometimes we don't. So 2015, we did 400. The year before that, we did about 800. This year, the estimate is about 1,200, where we'll end up at. Let's see. Okay, yeah, that matches here. So
you're talking about
around
line 67.
Yeah.
How much?
Does that include the spray that we use to control noxious weeds?
That should.
We're going to need to invest in some. I don't know how much we have in quantity. The county will spray for the Scotch thistle, but mostly what we're having in all of our areas now is the bull thistle, and they won't spray that.
What's that one look like?
I don't know. It's the one with purple flowers on it.
Well, I thought that was the other one.
One of them is broadleaf, and one of them is narrowleaf, and one is not noxious, and one is.
What's the purple one?
Both purple.
It's stuff that we're responsible to get rid of ourselves.
I thought that guy, Carl's his name?
Yeah, he'll only spray the Scotch. He'll drive right past the
really?
Yeah.
Boy, that purple stuff
the
is
tall,
bad.
Skinnier one, Scotch thistles. I'll show you pictures.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. Okay.
So what do we need, Brad? How much money do we need? Just take a stand.
Well,
take a poke.
We'll just kind of put something down here, because until I meet with that conservation guy, we can kind of get an idea. And bear in mind also that we got to potentially it'll cost us $2,000 if we don't come in compliance this year with advances or that. So we got to spend money to make money in a way. We got to put up at least $10,000.
Say that again. What?
Ten grand.
The crop management.
Everything, the whole budget.
Oh, the whole department?
Divided between everything.
Okay. How about if I just put the bottom line at the total livestock blog?
Yeah,
cut?
We're going to
okay.
have to see what we can do this year and what we can't do. And.
Oh. All right. Well, okay. Okay.
So 10 grand and we'll skip down the roads now.
Okay.
What are we putting in there?
10 grand in the whole category.
We'll let you massage that. End of the areas.
Okay, we're going to
ask Mariah if the spray, that expensive spray for the noxious weeds that was included in that, and she said it was.
It's only $150.
Yeah, he only charges the ranch, and we'll have him come out again and hit.
Okay. I'm saying what Paul had bought. That's why we got a new sprayer that went in the back of Polaris.
Right, to get the stuff he won't spray?
Yeah. So. That's what I was talking about. We have to increase that amount for the ranch managers that continue that. That's what I was asking. Because that's where it was included. That's the 300 for the county.
It's 150 per time he shows up. So if he comes out twice, it's 300. If he comes out, whatever. We can tell him when to come or tell him not to come. And actually, they've done a pretty good job eliminating that thistle. At least in most areas of the ranch. But the bull thistle is coming on. And
purple stuff.
Yeah.
I've been spraying that in my place.
I've been battle. Digging it out every time I come up.
But it is a battle you can win because it only, once you kill that plant, and if you see that flower, just a flat flower leaf on the bottom, if you kill that, spray it on that, then you won't get it for next year at all. That plant's just dead. The root doesn't come back. It's only spread through the seeds. So if it gets mature and it blows seeds, then we have to deal with it. You'll have to deal with twice as much as you have this year. But once you get it going the right way, then it is controllable, especially in the areas that we need to control it.
Whatever stuff that when Carl came out and then Paul bought that stuff, Paul came up and went through the roads and sprayed that purple stuff. The next day I'm out there and it's dead in one day. So whatever that stuff was, and I think it said it was industrial strength, so you have to have some kind of permit. But boy, that stuff worked great. Whatever that is.
And we probably will have to get the ranch managers, whoever they come in, to get a license to spray that.
Yeah, because that really worth it. Whatever it costs, it's worth it.
Test and then the license them to spray.
Okay.
It's Rhodes.
All right, Rhodes. Grading, we usually budget $2,500. We spent $2,500 this year. Rhodes grading.
I got lost here.
That's line 77. Go the same thing again, or I don't know how this is going to impact with this new toy, so you guys are going to have to help me sort that.
With the, you mean with the backhoe?
Yeah, how much?
It's not going to make
not for grading,
your grading
but
budget.
Yeah, not for grading, but the other stuff. So contracted services where that one would come in. And so contracted services, we budgeted for 9. We spent 7.
I think we should keep it lower because now we have the backhoe to use.
You want
to
go with 7?
Go 7,500 for right now.
Put down for grading?
2,500. 7,500 down for contracted service.
Okay. The BLM fees are good for 4 years. They're due in 2018, so we can skip that. Culvert, we had 4,500 budgeted. This year, I think we have in it, it's not showing on the P&L, but we have 1,200 in that, right? You have that, Mariah, I think. The culvert.
Did you get the bill for the last 2 culverts that we bought?
Yes, I believe I did. Ones that are working possibly from Schultz's.
Yeah. I think Schultz's was $1,229. Does that ring a bell, John?
Well, the one of them was a little over 800, and I wasn't sure of that other, and I thought it was around 400 for the other one.
Okay.
We just put over in the pull down.
So I think I saw that coming through. I think it was like 1,200.
Yeah, so we're 1,200 and some change. We have to be some change.
1,229.
1,225.
Okay. So what are we expecting in culverts this year? Anybody have a clue?
Well,
I mean, how many more do we need in?
We got some awfully small culverts out there, 12-inch ones. They just plug up as fast. And one right down here by the gravel pit, the other side of it, it's small. And 12-inch culverts do not work. So we may have to get a few.
We need to get some 2-footers. And I can tell you, the Crawford, you kind of fetched it, all the grade, what grading you did. It just, it needs a lot of work. Up of the Crawford, you talked about East Crawford.
Well, there's some, yeah, there, and there's some right down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need more. So, I would budget every bit we budgeted for last year.
4,500?
Yeah, we need to use it, place them, even though we didn't use it all this year.
Okay, maps and signage, I just put something, $20.
Let me go back now, one more on the contractor services, what you put down there?
7,500?
7,500.
7,500?
Yeah.
I'm looking.
7,500.
My notes over here, I figure that I'm going to do a little more work this year than we've been doing. And I'm afraid until I don't know what we're going to get in the way of talent for the new man that's coming in. I might get stuck with a little bit more contractor services, which I don't want. But I was wanting a total in there of around 16,000, which was, I first thought 15,000 would do it. We had 13 and some change. We had 13 and some change,
13 for the whole thing of roads?
With what we had this last year in the budget.
16,000.
But I was looking for 16. We had 16.
Yeah, you had 16.
You had 16 for last
budgeted
year?
Budgeted for it, yeah.
That's also contractor services.
That's all of them.
What was contractor services?
Contractor services
was
9.
I don't want any less than the 16 because I'm afraid we might have to hire somebody for something because I don't know what the new guy is going to be able to do with our equipment.
He's basically asking for us to put maybe 10 there instead of 7,500.
Well, if you're looking for 16, what we have now is 16.
Okay, well.
Just duplicate it?
I only add up 14, 5.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What we had budgeted this year. Okay, so we can change that.
You know, we want 16 for this year.
Graded.
Yeah. I want 16 for this year.
All right. Grading was 2,500 then. Contract services is 9,000. And
I hope we have enough talent when we don't have to use that contractor services.
Yeah, if we get a good one.
Okay,
grading is 2,500. Contracted services is 9,000. Culverts are 4,500. And really,
that makes 16,000.
We're really, right now, a total road, all those things combined, we're going to hit a little bit over $11,000. So, John, you're still doing real good. So that has saved us a lot of money already this year.
Yeah, it saved us a lot of money.
So that gives you actually $16,500, John.
I'll take it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, at 259545?
No, 9,000.
2,500.
9,500. No, just 9,000.
Where are you?
9,000 on 78.
There you go. It's 11,500 and then 4,500. Yeah. Well, 16,000.
Okay. I'm good at that as a total. Are you ready to do vehicles?
Yep.
Yeah, let's get, we gotta move.
We're only in page 3.
Well, page 5 is like nothing and,
okay.
Hey, this is a big project. Don't rush the bookkeeper.
Okay, we're
okay, now we're going into, I've got to find it over here, the vehicle. It's kind of complicated. I wanted to split between places for me. All right. And John, I need your help on this one. The Ford truck, we still have the Ford truck, correct?
Yes.
And the Ford truck repair, we budget at $1,500. Is that going to be sufficient?
Joe's over me.
Yeah, but he's been here.
Well, we just put $600 in brakes here just this week. So our brakes should be good.
So is the $1,500?
The truck is also a year older.
Got new rotors and new brakes.
Yeah, new rotors and brakes. Now, how much was the budget?
$1,500. Yeah, is that good?
That doesn't buy much. I'd rather.
It's an older truck now. I would go for $2,000.
Okay, it's down $2,000.
All right. Do we have a GMC anymore? No. We do. Okay. Okay. The GMC repair. We put $1,500 for that budget last year as well. Is that the white truck?
That's the white flat there.
How much did we spend on it?
We are up to nothing this year.
So I probably will need something next year, so keep the $1,500 in there.
I would keep it $1,500.
Ford van.
We haven't had the van in a long time.
Okay, van's out. And lube oil changes, you know, we usually put $100 there, but.
You need more than that, don't we?
We do. We've got all these equipments. I don't know why we only put $100 there, but
man,
that's
what it is. It'll cost you over $150 just for the backhoe alone.
Well, give me a number there.
How often does that need to be done?
Oil and everything, you probably need $1,000 for all this.
About twice a year.
We're having a dream budget now. Kubota repair.
What was the lube oil?
1,000.
Yeah.
Kubota repair.
Kubota. We're at about $800 this year. We have budgeted $1,500 last year.
They're going to do a lot of brush hogging.
The brush hogging's going to break it up.
Yeah, but those things are self-destructive.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of cracks. I got to do some welding on it.
Polaris repair.
Are you thinking 15 or more?
The brush hog.
Yeah. Well, at least 15.
Huh? Yeah.
Let's start with 1,500. Polaris. Those are cheap. Maintenance. $100.
More than that.
Between brakes and oil changes, I'd go at least 200.
Let's see. We spent $100 on it this year. So 200?
Yeah. Tractor grader repair.
tractor, grader.
Well,
the
tractor we spent probably about $300 on this year.
Yeah, you know, we did really good on that one because the one you see, the $24,000 you see in there is for the purchase, which needs to be moved out and put into a fixed asset or something. We're asking Niall about that.
Yeah, Niall said go ahead and put it under.
Okay.
Okay.
The tractor's going to have new tires.
Yes, it is.
Period.
It isn't going to last. We're lucky. We haven't had to.
The tractor or the backhoe?
The backhoe. Going to need new tires.
Let's say backhoe.
Yeah. You take out that other heading that we deleted and just put in backhoe there.
Probably about, you know, it's a minimum of
for what?
Do we have a tractor too?
A tire? Yeah, those big tires.
The grader?
I think I asked him a lot. He said he could probably get one for $400.
You can have one for the backhoe and one for the grader.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's not count on it.
He was guessing too. I don't know what the tire
costs. Yeah, let's not count on it. Those tires are expensive, I'll tell you.
So how much do we need for tires?
Well, six.
Probably 800. He's saying 800 a piece for the two rear. So 1600 just for the rear.
And then you got to repair it. Less than $1,800.
You got an internet connection? Google it.
Okay.
All right. Grader repair. Where are we at on the grader this year? Have we? Does it need any more work?
$1,800. Yes, it did.
Okay.
What did we have for it last year?
Last year, the grader repair, we didn't have a whole lot, just a couple of oil leaks.
We had a hydraulic.
We had
two of them this year, hydraulic leaks on that.
So what did we spend?
Grader, we spent.
I don't think we spent
$300, like $300
on it.
Yeah, we better.
Paul didn't tell me how much it was.
It wasn't a whole lot because Paul fixed one of them by himself. He finally found a line to fix it with.
So we probably better have at least another $300 down, right?
$500. Vehicle registration.
$500. That'll be over lucky. Okay. I'm looking for the vehicle registration to begin with. As I look down at the rest of these things, except for special projects, they're pretty much things that are going to be pretty much the same.
Same as they were last year.
Yeah. So I'm going to suggest that you fill in for what you send us, all of these figures we have, and send out to the board this worksheet. And then we can massage that, go back and forth.
Do you want to add anything to the water, though, or...
Add things to water?
Add anything for the water, for Barry.
I'll send you something if I don't know at this point. I doubt it. I think that we need to look at some of the water tanks and some of the things that have to do with livestock and talk about those. But I think put in what you had last year and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So with
the only other thing we don't have for special projects or we don't listed anywhere is that we need to deal with is the laundry facility.
I can make it work, but I don't know if somebody else would be okay with making it work.
Now, if I understood correctly, we talked about replacing the cow pallets here with the tough shed or a built on site facility, right?
Which was like $8,000 to $10,000,
yeah.
Right?
And we bought the backhoe and then we just put it aside. We threw it out the door.
Why don't, before we get the next budget together, I do a little bit of checking to, I think that we could probably build our own. It's going to depend a lot again on what talent
we
get.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot less expensive to build one than it is to have one built and hauled in and then refitted for what we need. But I think it needs to be done this year. We can't have laundry stuff on the ground and mice and everything else. What's that?
No mice.
No mice?
I don't even have droppings.
Okay.
If I still graded my shed.
But they might not have all the cats you have.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the barn cats here. We're going to feed them through the winter.
Well, let me come up with a number for that and bring it to the next meeting. I think I'd like to just check with a couple sources. I do think it needs to be done. At the end of the day, we're going to have to look at our budget once we get all the numbers in and see if it's feasible.
And I can tell you right now, we also had dump truck on our wish list. These things are called wish list items.
We had the
store remodel, the dump truck, and then solar and cabin 8. But right now, our reserve, our expenses, our income minus our expenses, with what we have in here now, we're $10,000 to the good. So that tells me we're going to be $15,000 to the negative when we get everything else.
Well,
so let's look at this for fine tuning when we get to it.
We're going to have to borrow money.
Just to
clearly
address.
We're going to have to borrow money?
No, no, no. We have to scale down the budget for next year.
No.
I'm meaning for next year, not this year. For what we just put in, we're going to be like 15,000 short. So we'll have to
reduce
the budget.
As far as just 2 seconds on the dump truck, it's going to depend on if we get somebody that has the ability to drive and use the dump truck.
Yes.
If we get somebody that doesn't, then there's no reason to.
Right.
Except
for John can use it.
John can drive it. Brent can drive it.
That's true.
Well, yeah, we have several people out here that can drive one. The thing is, the dump trucks, when they come in, they're expensive. You know, they got to bring them in from a long ways, usually, and they charge us for that. It can run anywhere from 300 up just to get it out here. And, then you're hiring a driver at the same time. And I'd like to get out of that expense there of bringing them out here. And I'd like to, get out of the expense of hiring a driver when, there's some of us out here that can drive. And the other thing, we have to wait on them when they can, get out here. And we have emergency stuff that comes up, like just overnight we had a washout down there, and we got to wait for several days because these guys, you know, we're not their only business. They got a business to run, and they got to take care of the customers that they have. And when they finish with them, then they can come and help us. And well, that might be a big thing. Maybe if we could get that taken care of right now, a storm 3 days later comes and hits that thing again. Now we're talking real expense. And that's what I'd like to avoid.
That's why we'd like to cut the motion for. Yeah.
So the dump truck has proven that the backhoe has really paid for itself. Not that we couldn't get them, but we couldn't get them when we want them. And this is what we need to think about.
Okay.
Well, I've got a guy in Vegas that's looking for a truck for me, but I haven't got a price yet or a truck.
Or the idea,
we can also think about buying a
smaller
a dump
area
trailer.
At a good price, and you add the two of them together, and you've got what you need for all situations. So, small areas.
So if one pops up, we'll look at it and cross that. When it comes, let me ask Jody this: if we suspend our talks right now about the budget, can you plug? I mean, accepting these other, does everybody feel okay about telling from this point on to have Jody enter these numbers, email it to us all, show us the bottom line, and we'll. We'll work on it and finalize it at our next meeting.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Let's move.
Good.
That in. Because we have quite. I think we'll have a fair amount. I'd say a little bit going on here in our closed meeting. So, our next meeting should be scheduled for the second Saturday in November, which is what date? We got the calendar thing in front of them.
Yeah, I got one here. We'll come get it faster on that.
We could all be in
12th of November.
You could be rejoicing or in desperate stupor by then after the election. All right, so we probably won't have that meeting here usually. We start our rounds kind of going here and there, and I think I proposed maybe to come to St. George in November. Did I not?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Okay.
Barry offered you.
I'm
Barry.
We can do two,
when it's a little colder. We have another meeting.
Sure. Santa Clara.
Yeah. Well, I just have it at my office right in the middle of St. George.
Yeah. So for November, it'll still be kind of nice. Why don't you come to my house? And
you know, if we have it at your place, Barry, the person that has the meeting on their side has to cook an elaborate 12-piece meal.
Absolutely.
What do we call a candy at 12? I don't know. It's just
three for a dollar hot dogs. This is going on a Maverick. I'll pick up all of you.
Where's Barry? He's at Maverick. Pick
so
up your hot dogs.
At my office in St. George in November?
No.
Oh, you want to have it at your house?
Here.
Or we'll do yours, the second one that we do.
I don't care.
Yeah, let's do yours in the middle of the winter. Like.
Yeah, mine's going to be indoors. So.
Are you going to be back from Madagascar, et cetera?
I'll be back the 4th or 5th of November, unless a crocodile eats me.
Well, then we'll have to reschedule the meeting until he barks you back up.
Okay, let's
but I think we're going to have a meeting in St. George then. We've had a meeting in Vegas in January.
In January.
Yours is either February or March.
And then let's come back in February to Barry's.
How about my shop and quartzite?
Okay.
Is that in the United States?
No. That's real close to Mexico.
All right, so I'll make a motion that we adjourn this meeting, take a 5-10 minute break, and then we have our closed meeting.
I second it.
Second.
All in favor?
Yay.
Bye.
Okay. Approved.
I brought...